Welcome to the Tiwoo Podcast. This is audio log number 30, and it is March 10th, 2023. One of the main reasons why I decided to start this podcast was so that I could have some audio recordings of myself speaking about my experiences and my general mentality to share with my children in the future. When they get old enough to kind of be curious about the person that I am and to help them understand who I am. And so I thought it would be a good idea to talk about my experience giving birth to them while it's still fresh in my mind. Because for me, when I ask my parents about my birth, they don't remember that many details about it. Because by the time I became curious about it, it had already been like so long, right? I think like I might have been in my teens or like my 20s. So it's been like more than 10 years since they gave birth to me. And they didn't remember specific details about, you know, how it felt, even like other than that it hurt, or like how did they know they were gonna give birth, you know, what was the experience like, how did it feel like to have me there when I was first born, or like things like that. I mean, the only details they could really remember were that I came a week after my due date, and that my dad had taken the week prior, expecting that I would have come, but I never did. I came a week late, so I don't think he was there, or he was like working or something like that. I'm not even sure. And that I was like, I think I was like born in the morning or something. So that's really all they can remember. So I don't know if my kid will be curious about it, but I at least feel that I should try to record it. Record as much as I can remember now, so that in the future they could listen back to the time that they were born. I feel like that's a very cool thing to know about, you know? So I'm gonna go off by kind of talking about the week that it happened. So that week, so the week before, my OB had told me that I had got to the 38 week point, and that the following week she'd be on vacation, and that another doctor would be coming in to check my cervix to see if I had started to dilate yet. And so we were planning to give for me to give birth on, I think it was August 9th. I was supposed to be induced like on a Monday, like two weeks after that appointment. So after I had gone to 38 weeks, and then the following week when my OB was on vacation, there was a substitute OB who checked on me, and they did a cervix examination, so they had to like stick their finger in. So I remember very clearly that the lady had done it, and then it hurt a bit, and I was like, oh, it was hurting, and I was like telling her. She told me at that point, I was thinking I was like only 2 centimeters dilated, and then she was like, you know, it's not that rare if you go into labor because of this. So if you feel any pain or anything afterwards, or if there's like blood or whatever, then you might have to go to the hospital. That was August 3rd, I think, or August 2nd. Oh yeah, that was August 2nd. And I didn't think much of it. And so a few days go by, and then on August 4th, that day, I woke up and I was starting to feel kind of like cramps, but throughout my pregnancy, I sometimes would feel cramps, and it kind of felt like period cramps, and I was really suspicious of it. But then I read online that if you're feeling like you're having cramps or kind of they're kind of like contractions, it could be like this thing, I forgot what's it called, I think it's called like something Hicks, and it's just like, it's just occasional like cramping, and it's not contractions, although it seems like it feels like it. So actually that day on the August 4th on the Thursday, I actually felt like I was having that. It was kind of painful, and then it would just go away, and I was like, oh, that's kind of strange. And for some reason, I don't know why, I think I was having it in the night or something. I was really tired that day. So I remember waking up pretty late, I think around the, like, noontime. Like, I usually wake up around 11 or 12 when I was pregnant. And I was already, like, I was, like, 39 weeks pregnant at that point, I think. Or I think I was, like, 38 and a bit. I don't remember exactly how far along, but I was, like, past 38 weeks. And so I was pretty big and I was pretty tired that day. So I went to take a nap after I had lunch. And so I just remember lying in bed, and I felt really like sore everywhere too, because I was really big. It was really hard for me to get up. So I just remember waking up that day and like eating food. And then after I was feeling tired, I was just lying down in bed and just relaxing and looking on my phone. I didn't really have anything to do. And then like I remember getting up again, having like dinner and stuff. And then I took a nap as I was feeling really tired. And I woke up at like around 10 and I felt like, oh, I'm hungry. And I got my partner to make me instant noodles. So then I was just sitting there, and then I started to feel like cramping again. And I was kind of like, I'm kind of getting worried. I'm like, why am I feeling all these cramping? So I'm like, I don't know why, but I just decided to put on like the put on adult diapers. I had bought a pack, and I thought, oh, maybe I should start wearing them, because I don't know if something's gonna happen. And I felt like, I don't know why I'm getting cramps either. So I put it on, and then he went to go make instant noodles for me. And I went to sit down on the kitchen chair, and then suddenly I feel like, I felt like a lot of water come down between my legs, like I was peeing, but I didn't feel like I was peeing. And it's just like so much water. It wasn't just like, it felt like it was getting wet, and then suddenly like it just, a gush of water just shot down between my legs. And good thing I was wearing a diaper. It was so much water, like someone emptied entire plastic bottle of water into my underwear. But thankfully I was wearing the adult diapers. And then at that moment, I knew. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I think my water broke. And then in that instance, like not even that long after, I started having cramps again. But this time, it wasn't like brief cramping. Like it would just, like before, I was just having it for like not even a minute. I would just have it. Like I would just have some pain and it would just go away. Like a couple seconds, it wasn't a big deal. But at that time, after my water broke, it hurt a lot. And then I'm like, instantly my water broke. I rushed to the washroom. I changed out of my diaper. I was wearing like, I think another diaper or like another underwear. I'm not even sure. It was basically like I was wearing a huge t-shirt because that's what I wear for my pajama. And then I was wearing like shorts. And then once I changed, and then it started hurting, and I was like, oh my God. I was like freaking out. I didn't know what was happening. And at that time, I was gonna eat instant noodle because I was kind of hungry. But then I was in so much pain. And then because of our cats, we also like, I think they were like outside. So my partner had to go outside and like get the cats back before we left, I think, and put them into their sleeping room before we could leave. Otherwise they'll be stuck outside for God knows how long, because we weren't sure how long we were going to be gone for. And so then I went to the car, and he rushed out, and he like got the hospital bag, and I was just in the car, and it's just getting progressively worse. Like, honestly, I was screaming. I don't know how, but the time that my water broke to, like, the time that we got to the hospital, the contractions got so much worse. By the time I was in the car and we were starting to drive, I was in so much pain, like so much pain. I don't know how, but it felt like, it's like the worst thing I've ever felt before. I was screaming so hard, and I was screaming so hard, and it reminded me of when my cat passed away, and I was like emotionally hurting really, really bad, and also screaming just as hard, like at the top of my lungs. And this feeling that I had, the contractions that I had, gave me that feeling, like it was hurting so much, and I was just like, oh my god, and just like so painful, like you just like want to leave your body. So yeah, he like rushed us to the hospital, and he couldn't even park his car because I was in so much pain and I could not move. I had to get like a wheelchair, and he just kind of pulled up onto the front entrance, and I had to be like wheeled into the hospital, and he had to like leave the car there. And it was a big deal because you can't just leave your car like at the entrance of a hospital, right? You have to like park it. So like security guard was like asking, and like I was just like screaming in pain, and I cannot move because I was in so much pain. And and I just remember sitting in the car, and just like it was so painful. And so by the time we got to the hospital and I'd gone upstairs, he brought me upstairs, the car wasn't even parked. We like were rushing, he was like rushing me as fast as I could. We were just at the entrance, and I'm just like, oh my god, screaming and hurting. They took me in really quickly. They were like, I think when I got there, I was like five centimeters dilated. So anyways, we went there, they triaged us, so they were like checking like our health card, stuff like that. They took me into another room, asked me to change into one of those blue hospital gowns, so I had to get like naked, get on like some kind of bed thing. And then the nurse came, you know, and then they were asking me like, you know, when did it start, you know. And then they went and checked the dilation. I think it was like 5 centimeters at that time. So then they're like, okay, so they're like, then they just went away. I don't know what happened. I think they're like, oh, we're gonna check and see something up. I think might be the epidural or something like that. And the lady was, so then I met the anesthesiologist. I think that's when they like gave me the IV, maybe, I don't remember. And so then by the time the lady comes back, which has only been like 10-15 minutes, apparently I'm like 9 centimeters dilated, which is insane. So they're like, oh my god. So they take me to another room, and then so everyone rushes in there, and then I'm screaming in pain. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And also I'm like super hot, by the way. I think like my top came off or something like that, I'm not really sure. And I was screaming in pain, and I was trying not to swear. And they were also helping me breathe and all that stuff. The anesthesiologist comes, and then she basically says that she thinks like I'm in too much pain, and that she doesn't think she'll be able to give it to me. And then she just kind of like leaves, and I'm like, what? I can't believe this. I'm like, no, like they have to give me the epidural. Like, and then the OB comes, and the OB is like trying to get me to push. And they're just trying to get me to push, and I'm like, it's hurting, it's really hurting really bad, and I'm trying. And then like not long after, as I'm trying to push and breathe and push, the OB's like telling the nurses, I can hear her telling nurses like, does she not have her epidural? Like, and then they're like, no, the anesthesiologist just said she's not going to get it. And they're like, no, you have to get the anesthesiologist back. She has to give her the epidural. Because at first, the anesthesiologist said, oh, you're going to have to potentially, like, do this the natural way because it seems like you're too far along for me to give it to you and you're in too much pain. But then after the OB tells her to come back and says you have to, I don't know, says she has to give it to me. So I'm already shaking in pain. Like, it's really, really bad. And so I had to hold my partner and, like, hold tight and keep still so that they could give me the epidural. Because apparently, I think, I don't know at what point, the OB mentions to me and my partner that the baby's heart, the heart rate is dropping, the blood pressure is dropping, so they had to get her out as soon as possible, and that my pushing isn't really working because there's too much pain. So the anesthesiologist did come back and gave it to me, and I was holding tight, and as soon as I got it, and then, like, not long after, I felt, like, so much relief down there. Like, you can't feel anything. I was like, oh my god, it's so good. Compared to, like, I swear to god, like, almost half an hour of what I felt. I don't even think it was, like, half an hour. It was, like, maybe an hour or so. I don't even remember. But it was just, like, really, really painful, and then suddenly it's, like, gone. Yeah, it was just suddenly gone. The epidural was working really well, and I was able to push and push. And then not long after, the epidural started working, and then I gave birth. And yeah, my daughter was born. The doctor did mention to me that she had to make an incision and use a vacuum to get her head out because my child wasn't facing the right way. At that time, they're supposed to be, I think, facing the back or something like that. They're supposed to be facing, I think, downwards or something like that. But at the time, she wasn't. She was facing a different direction that made it hard for her to come out naturally. So in order for her to come out, they had to use a vacuum to get her out. And also, she had to make an incision to help her get out as well, because the doctor had mentioned that potentially if she didn't make the incision, there might have been a natural rip, which would have been worse. So she was really worried about that, and so she made the cut herself on the side, which I didn't feel anything, obviously, the epidural. So yeah, it happened all really fast, and I remember right after I gave birth, they brought her over to me. And I held her, and they said, oh, you have to put a finger in her mouth so that she can start sucking. And she was all slimy and wet, and she was crying, and she was pouty too. And her head was a little bit, it was like shaped a little bit weird to, like, the left side because they used the vacuum on her head. And she was kind of like gray color, and yeah, I think I was, like, sweating or something. I don't know how, but I was, like, I think I was, like, half naked. I don't know how I ended up half naked. But, yeah, it was really magical when she came out. Honestly, it kind of felt like I couldn't really feel anything because I had the epidural. Like, I didn't feel any pain, but I felt something. And what I did feel felt like I had a really big poo down there. Like, the pressure, it felt like I was having a big poo, and when she came out, it felt like that poop was, like, released. So I think everyone can relate to the feeling of, like, having a big poo in your butt, and then, like, when it comes out, you feel that relief of it coming out. So yeah, with the epidural, that's kind of what it felt like. The entire birth happened so quickly, because all I remember was that I think I woke up around 10, And I think we were already on our way to the hospital like by 10:30, and then we get there, and then so all this stuff happens, and by the time I actually give birth, it's like 12:15, 12:20 or something, or 12:30 from what I remember. And so it happened all within like an hour and a half, 2 hour time frame, like all of that, if not even less, because I don't remember exactly what time we got to the hospital. So it is pretty insane that it happened so quickly. And my partner, like I had mentioned, he didn't even park his car when we got there. He didn't have a chance to park the car until I had already given birth, and the nurses had helped us like talk to security already, so that once I gave birth, he went and he moved the car, he got our things, and like we were ready to kind of like go wherever we needed to go. And so surprisingly, so before they gave me an epidural, they also gave me an IV in my hand to stay hydrated. And surprisingly, the IV in my hand, when they put it into my hand, hurt more than when they put the epidural in my back. I don't know if it's because that's just how much pain I was in when I got the epidural, that I didn't actually feel the pain of the epidural going in. And it's kind of insane when I think about it. But that IV hurt really, really bad. And I really hope I don't have to get an IV ever again. But yeah. And then after I gave birth. And then not long after, they moved us to another department. I forgot what's it called. It's basically just, after you give birth, you go and stay there. And unfortunately, because of COVID, I wanted to get a private room, but I couldn't. They could only give me a shared room, so I had to share a room with somebody. And we both have our babies in there, and obviously if my baby's not crying, then her baby's crying, and if her baby's not crying, then my baby's crying, and no one's getting any sleep. And that you had to stay at the hospital for like 24 hours after you've given birth. And honestly, it was so tiring. Me and my partner really wanted to leave because it was so uncomfortable and super like noisy and stuff, and super tiring. So then after giving birth, we stayed there for like 24 hours, and they would come every hour or so to check my blood, to check the baby's blood, to take our blood pressure and stuff like that. They had to check my blood sugar because I had gestational diabetes, and they had to check the baby's blood sugar as well, and also weighing the baby every, I don't know how long. So basically, it was really hard for us to sleep within the next 24 hours. Like, it's ridiculous. And then on top of that, right, there's a person who stays like right next to you. So when we just got there, it was like I said, like 1 a.m. The person next to us, like, because we were awake right after from like all of the adrenaline, but also because of all the testing. And I was kind of like, I noticed that they seemed like they really wanted to leave, and they left like at 3 a.m. And I was like, oh, that's strange. Until afterwards, I realized I know why they wanted to leave so bad. So yeah, after they left, and then like, it was so annoying because they come do the test and I couldn't really sleep. And then by the time like, I think they had people come clean the room too at some point, and they were so loud cleaning the room that it was super hard just to sleep. But yeah, and then honestly, me and my partner really didn't know anything. And also afterwards, the epidural wore off, and then my down there started hurting so much because they had made a cut, and and I also still had the IV, and I'd have to like somehow get up from the bed with like my down there cut, and it's like bleeding and it's like swollen, and I had like so many hemorrhoids on my butthole. It was so painful. And so my partner had to be there with me like the entire time just to help me take care of our daughter. So while I just try to go to the washroom, and he would have to try and like help me to the washroom. It was so tough that first 24 hours and staying in that hospital. Like, it was not the best. And I didn't get any sleep. But yeah, and so once the epidural wore off, my down there was like hurting so much. I had to rinse it and keep it clean. But that was really difficult. And also, it was a bit difficult to also manage the cats at home. At some point, my partner had to leave in the morning because the cats were stuck. They were sleeping and stuck inside, and so he went home and checked on them. And then also my brother came to the to our house to help watch over one of my other cats because she needs to take medication. And so he had to go back and help do all these things, and I was left alone. And I could barely get up, and it was really hard for me to tend to my daughter during that time because I was in so much pain. And sometimes, like, she would cry, and she's in like this crib, not a crib, like a bassinet type thing. But yeah, and then eventually the room next to us filled up in the morning, and they were super loud. And the person next to us had like a C-section, and they had apparently been given this medication that also makes them like nauseous. So I could just hear her like barf in the next room. It was super distracting. And unfortunately, I was like too hungry to even let that bother me to like not eat my food. I just had to have breakfast because I was so hungry. Like, mind you, I was wanting to eat instant noodle at like 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't eat it. And so the next meal I had was like 8 a.m. So I'm like, I don't care if you're making barf sounds, I'm still going to eat this breakfast, even if it is shit. I am hungry. At the time, my partner wasn't there to get me food. So I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to eat this shitty breakfast. So yeah, and then we had a couple of nurses help us. They were overall pretty nice, but I mean, there's some things they didn't really tell us. Like, we didn't know you're supposed to supplement the breast milk with formula because there might not be enough breast milk in the beginning. We had no idea you're supposed to supplement with formula at all. Nobody mentioned that to us. And we only found out like a few days later when our child was potentially testing positive for jaundice. So that was pretty ridiculous. And then also, one of the nurses who was supposed to be helping me with my breastfeeding was like trying to show me how to get the baby to latch on to my nipple. And she like squeezed my nipple so hard, like it was bleeding. Like, it started to like scab, and on both sides. So I had like scabby nipples within like the first week of breastfeeding, which was a really bad start because, I mean, I'm pretty sure that impacted my child's like desire to breastfeed because of, you know, the scabs. So yeah, that was not very helpful. And then ultimately, in the end, we were just like rushing to get out. So like I said, we were in the hospital like 1 a.m. So the only time we could leave was like 24 hours after, which is like in the like literally 1 a.m. or 3. I think we left at 3 a.m. the next day. We were so antsy to leave because we were so tired. Yeah. We were just so tired. She was born 12 a.m. on a Friday, and we left the hospital at like, I think 2 or 3 a.m. on the Saturday. Just, we just wanted to get out, and we were so happy to be home. Like, it's like, oh my God. And yeah, the breastfeeding was pretty hard in the beginning just because the nurses were not really helpful. And like, although I would go to like the lactation consultants, which were technically just nurses at the hospital, they were not really helpful either. All they would do would be just telling me whether or not the baby is drinking milk, and then ways that I could try and help increase my milk production. That was just basically massaging my boob or like things that were not super helpful. That was really tough, and it really bothered me, to be honest, because I really wanted to breastfeed my child, and I couldn't help but feel like it was something I was doing wrong. But ultimately, it was just something that was totally out of my control, and like I might have just like, because the first 2 weeks of breastfeeding are the most important. That's a really important time to actually massage your boob and get the baby really sucking on the milk to get it to start production. So I might have messed that up, and that's probably why sometimes like I had problems afterwards. But you know, I'll never know really. But yeah, honestly, no one ever told me how tiring the first like even 2 weeks would be with a baby. That literally it means that you're not going to be able to sleep because the baby constantly needs you to wake up and feed them. Like, I would have never known that. I don't know why nobody ever... I know it's tiring. I didn't know it's literally you don't sleep at all. Like, no one's ever said you have a kid, you do not sleep at all. I always just thought you just have little sleep or something. But this is literally, like, no sleep. Me and my partner had to take turns not sleeping, like, for, like, half a day each, at least. Like, it's honestly really horrible. That, and we didn't know, so we were kind of like unprepared. But I'm just thankful that that's over now. So yeah, that was like the toughest part, and also the breastfeeding. The lack of education surrounding breastfeeding is ridiculous. They should have like proper education. They really don't. So I don't know, the hospitals are really lacking, and like I don't know what it is. Like, the doctors are great, but like the nurses I got, they just felt like they really like didn't know stuff or didn't tell us stuff. And that's the same feedback I've been getting from my other friends who gave birth too, that the nurses are just not that great, which I'm not surprised because we're in like kind of a healthcare crisis right now. But yeah, that's pretty much my birthing experience. It was pretty painful, and I feel lucky that my experience was relatively short. I didn't have like 12 hours of labor. My labor was literally just like two. I mean, I don't know if I should count like the whole day that I spent lying in bed with like cramping, but it didn't really hurt that much, so I'm like, I don't think that really counts. So yeah, I think if I got to the hospital at any later time, I might have given birth in the car, which is kind of insane. So I'm really thankful I made it to the hospital in time. And I'm really thankful that OB gave me that epidural, because I was gonna like pass out from the pain. It was so bad. But anyways, yep. That's my birthing story. And that's it for today's log. Hope you guys have a nice day. Thanks. Bye. Have a good evening.